eating and sharing together. But we just now pray as Rob comes to share with us that your presence will be felt, that he'll just be able to be open with us, but that we will hear, each one of us hear something from you. Just bless him now. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good afternoon. How are you? It's nice to see familiar faces and some that I don't recognise. So I'm Rob. I am a farmer by trade, come from generations of farmers, and I think we do all right. I think we're quite good farmers. But I was thinking about Harvest Thanksgiving, and as a festival, it's really diminished over the years, hasn't it? The kids do something very small at school, but I remember when I was a child, harvest was a big thing in school and in church, and remember lots of harvest festivals, and we sort of join with traditions over countless decades and generations of people celebrating harvest. And I think today we've almost become detached from where our food comes from because it's so easy to get hold of, isn't it? And we look back in history, and I'm a Christian as well, and if you look back in the Old Testament, how the Israelite people, they have multiple celebrations of harvest, and they would spend a week at a time celebrating the goodness of God in giving them enough to eat and drink for the year. And I think I'm in a privileged position, being a farmer, of seeing that life cycle still, of understanding how precarious food is, and how we've seen it over the last year or so, haven't we? When there's a war in the world, how suddenly food becomes the thing that we think about a little bit more, and how if something goes missing in the shops, then we begin to think about food. Anyway, this is very serious, but I'm just going to spend a few minutes explaining what harvest means to us as a farmer. And I thought I'd show you a little video first. Before I tell you about this video, I don't know, Dad's not seen this video before, but you'll see in the corner there in front of the combine, there's a green spot. Just before this video, the combine had sunk in that green spot. That is actually a little bit of a peat bog there. And we spent 5 hours pulling it back out because it and the person who we were doing the farming for was looking across the valley, and she said she could see the top of the combine, and as she kept looking out the window, it was so slowly going down, and it was actually rested on the bottom, and that I was expecting that we were going to have to get cranes to get it out because it was so embedded in. Anyway, I was very thankful for harvest that day once we got it out. So this is my view usually at harvest time. And you see, this is an incredibly powerful machine. And on its best day, this combine harvester will harvest enough wheat to produce about 500,000 loaves of bread. So you don't think about it when you're sat on it, but yeah, that's and we spend a lot of time on there. So from about 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, until the dew comes in the evening, so 10, 11 o'clock in the evening. So they're long days, and it's an incredibly, busy, but pressurized time of the year. But it follows a whole season of growing a crop. And when we think about harvest, we think about the end product. But for us as farmers, harvest has just begun because we've just started planting again, or we've just planted some crops. So some of you might not have heard that, but the tractor was driving itself, which is why I was able to take a video as I was driving along. So the technology is incredible on these modern machines. That planter that we use there is capable of sowing 70 to 80 acres in a day on a good day. An acre is the size of this football pitch out here, so you imagine the amount of ground that we can cover. It's become very efficient in planting seeds, and we've just planted the last of our seeds this autumn over the weekend. In fact, just over the top here, we've been planting beans, and they'll harvest next July and August. And so for us, it's a very slow process going from planting to harvest. And we're out now planting, but we spend most of the year watching. So this part of the year for us is actually more important than harvest, if there is a more important. The best thing is to get the thing in the barn, isn't it? Get the stuff in. But if you don't plant things in the right conditions, then they don't grow properly and you don't get a really good harvest. So for us, this time of year is really important, and managing the conditions that we have, and particularly the soil that we've got, is really important. And so I'm going to bamboozle you with amazing pictures. This is a picture of three of our fields, which have been planted with oilseed rape this year. And what we do in our fields is we like to know what nutrients are in the soil. Just like you and I, plants need nutrients to live, and they need a good balanced diet, just like we do. They probably like different things than us, though. I'm not sure if I gave this a Mars bar, it would help. But I'm not sure it helped me very much either. But what you can see here is the difference in nutrients across the fields. And blue means there's a lot of nutrient, and yellow means there's not, or red means there's not very much. You can see our fields are in quite good nick at the moment. But we then, from these maps, so we take in soil samples to build up these maps. We then have a machine which can spread fertilizer at a different rate across the field to give the plant exactly what it requires. It's incredible technology. I don't understand how it works. I just sit on the thing and drive it, and it does it for me. Looks something like that. I didn't have a picture of our one, but it looks exactly like that. It's tiny little balls of plant food, essentially. But our fertilizer spreader, when the balls hit the discs and they go off, it has radars that measure the speed that they're coming off the discs so that they know exactly how far they're spreading. So we can spread, we actually spread at a distance of 28 meters. So if you've driven past fields, you'll see those lines up through the field. That's where we drive every time. And we know we're being really accurate with what we're applying. So on a windy day, actually the machine will pick up the wind and it will adjust how the position it puts it on the disc so it doesn't throw it too far. And that's how we're stopping getting fertilizer and all these products into water courses and stuff like that. Technology is becoming more and more impressive. So in the spring, this will be the first job that we do. We've planted the crops, they're growing, and it's incredibly mild this year, isn't it? And our crops are growing really well. It's almost been the perfect autumn for planting. And in the spring, then, we've got something to look after. So I'm already thankful for next year's harvest because we've got something to look after. We don't know what's going to happen in the meantime, but I'm already thankful that we've had a good autumn, that we've had a good planting. And so we'll be on in the spring, giving the nutrients that the plants need. If you want to know what they are, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium and sulfur are the most important ones. And vitamin B and vitamin K, not really. And then I just thought I'd throw this one in because I think this is the nicest view that I get to look at when I go spraying. This is overlooking Chew Valley Lake. And so if you know Mum and Dad, you've probably been up to our place. We're at Stratton-on-the-Foss, but we mainly based around there, but we do contracting work as well, and we go right out to the other side of the lake, nearly to the edge of Bristol, and then we go over to Froome. In that direction. But this is the sort of main job that we do through the spring, controversial spraying. When I talk to people about it, I liken it to an analogy that if you are poorly, you give yourself medicine. We do that with our plants, our crops in the field. In this country, we're extremely blessed with wet weather. It's really good for crops. They grow really well. Also, funguses grow really well in damp conditions, which you'll know if you're an athlete, you get it hanging around your feet, don't you? But funguses grow in damp conditions. And so to keep these plants really healthy, we apply fungicides, the same as you would spray on your foot if you had athlete foot. So we go through three times, possibly four, to keep the fungus out of the crops. Interestingly, this year and the last couple of years, we've had a fungus growing in our crops called ergot. And I don't know if anyone's heard of that. No nods in the room. You might be interested to know it's a hallucinogenic fungus, and we've had it in our crops. In fact, last week we spent the whole week getting it out of our crop. And what it does is it lives on the soil, and then in the late spring, it explodes and sends its spores into the ears of the crop that is growing there, and it replaces the grains. And so you get these black grains that form in the ear of your crop. And if you've ever been out walking through a field with your dogs or something, and you come back and it feels like you've got honey on your legs, you've walked in through a field that's got ergot in it. It's called honeydew as well. That's what they call it. Anyway, this little grain invades your seed, and you can't get it out at harvest. So we had to have a special machine in last week that can spot different coloured grains, and it takes out the dark coloured ones. So I've got 15 tons of hallucinogenic drugs if you want them. So we've spent, by the time we come to harvest, we've spent 9 months looking after, tending that crop. We've tried to keep it free from weeds. We've talked about wheat and tares in one of the songs. We try not to have too many tares if we can help it. But you'll notice that there's some wild oats in the vases, and Dad said they came from our farm. I can't believe it. No, no such thing on our farm. And so by the time we get to harvest, we've lived with that crop for 9 to 10 months. We've looked after it, but most of it is out of our hands. Most of what makes that crop grow is completely out of our hands. When I put the seed in the soil, there's nothing to say that seed's going to germinate and grow. It's nothing to do with my skill as a farmer. We have skills, you know, in any profession you learn to be skilled, don't you? But I always say that farming's the biggest gamble that there is. And I think I might struggle with it if I didn't have faith. Actually, that there is someone out there who's bigger and understands and created this planet and created things to have life and cycles of life. And it's a joy, actually, every year. And it's sometimes a surprise to see things growing. You think, how did that actually happen? I went through and with this giant machine and put seeds in the ground and they grew. There's nothing to do with my skill. And then we can look after the plant, but it's the weather that determines whether it's going to be a good crop or not. And still, so by the time we get to harvest, we've done what we can, but we're really still reliant on God. We're reliant on him wholly and incredibly. And I think it's like that in our personal lives too, that God's given us skills and talents and we've got ability to live our life, haven't we? But if we want to live life to its fullest, to its best, then I think we need to be reliant on God too, to recognize that it's Him who gives the abundance. It's Him that gives the joy of life. Like Mike was saying, it's not, you're not immune from troubles, but even in those hard times, you can still find joy. You can still find hope. I like in the Bible too, it speaks my language, because the people of the time, they knew about agriculture because everyone was involved with agriculture. And it wasn't too many generations ago that we would have all been involved in agriculture in some way. And so Jesus, when he spoke in agricultural language. You know the famous parables, don't you? The parable of the sower, the man who goes out and sows his seed. But there's one parable, really short parable, that I really love. And it's Jesus describing about the kingdom that he's here to establish. And it's a little parable, and it describes some treasure in a field. And he says that if you went and you discovered this treasure in a field, you'd hide it again, and then you'd go and sell everything you've got so that you could buy that field. And I stand before you and say that I found treasure in a field. I found it. And I reckon it's worth selling everything I've got to get hold of that treasure. But then that's not enough, because I've seen the field next door and it's got your name on it. And I'm saying it's worth selling everything you've got to get hold of. Just a little verse from Galatians, this one is. And it's another harvest one. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see, when you find this treasure, when you find the treasure that is Jesus, it compels you to change. It compels you to do good, to give away. And that's what we celebrate at harvest time. We celebrate the goodness of a God who gives away, who gives abundantly. And he created us in his image to do exactly the same thing. So if we want to see a harvest in our lifetime, then let's not become weary of doing good. And what does doing good mean? Well, Jesus came to bring good news, didn't he? Recovery of sight for the blind. What did he say when he opened up the scriptures in that first time in the synagogue? He came, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And it's good news that we look for today. And it's good news that we pass on to everyone else. But the way that that good news is shown is that we do good to people. And that's all I want to say, really. Because I think it doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. We can be good news for people. I'm stood in a room full of people who gave me good news. And they showed it to me. And I'm really sad that Angela's gone. She showed me good news. She showed me good things. And she gave away. But the good thing is, there's a harvest that she's seeing. And that's the beauty of the Christian faith, is that we look forward to a harvest. It can seem a long life, this one, can't it? But it's just a season. And then there's a harvest.
Oh, I don't know what to say, Rob, but thank you. We've learned a lot about farming, but also a real challenge to us all and an encouragement to us. So thank you very much. If we can just show our appreciation for Rob. Thank you. Hood is now going to be served. But if you'd like to talk about any of the things that Rob's talked about, come and see him, I'm sure. Or come talk to myself or other organisers. We'll be delighted to talk to you. Thank you.